As we all remain standing, let us pray together. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, O Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you think that you've heard that before, yes, we all said it a few minutes ago, didn't we? But I was motivated to say it again because I've been reflecting on this collect over the last few months, actually over the past 2 years, and how God would like us to be stirred up, really energized and re-energized. And if at any other time, this is the moment in the post-COVID, near the end of COVID, new COVID phase, whatever phase we think it's in, we're in, as God continues to work in and through his people. Take up the cross. Take up the cross. Then follow me. Today, the gospel reading challenges us to take a closer look at discipleship and our commitment to the Christian life. Are we just dipping one toe in and are we going full immersion here? We might ask ourselves a question. What exactly does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in times like these? Well, if we were to summarize the teaching of Jesus in today's gospel reading, and to keep it simple, I'll just suggest two ideas. Take up the cross, whatever that means to you and to me, whatever that means for this parish. Take up the cross and then follow Jesus. One of the mysteries of Scripture and of the teachings of Christ is that they're really very simple. Very, very simple, but complex. And the difference really is our faith. Go and wash 7 times. Lazarus, rise up. Very simple, isn't it? But our faith. It is believed that Jesus' audience knew the implications of carrying the cross. For in those days, criminals were forced to carry the cross on which they would die. This was intended to demonstrate public submission to Roman law and to serve as a warning to spectators. We know that Jesus was not trying to discourage his listeners, but rather he was asking them to think through their enthusiasm for him by encouraging them to take a closer look as they consider what is involved in being his disciple. And my friends, we too are encouraged to carefully discern what our Christian vocation means to us, because following Jesus would mean some form of self-denial. Yes, we may be required to give up something that means a lot to us, whatever that might be. And it might not necessarily be material possessions, but perhaps our time, our relationships, our traditions, our values, our lifestyle, just to name a few. And we're all familiar with people who have gone beyond, above and beyond the call of duty. Some people have given up business enterprises, and some people have moved across the world as missionaries for the sake of the gospel. But what we value will be different for each and every one of us. For most people, earning an income to take care of our families is essential. And there are some other important duties and responsibilities, I'm sure, like helping with elderly or ill relatives, being there with our children and others who need care, and of course, our own interests, hobbies, and activities. However, Jesus challenged his followers to think of the relative importance of these competing priorities. And at some points in our lives, we make choices, don't we? I remember when our son was in Sunday school, and thank God for Sunday school, and by God's grace, we'll have a Sunday school here again. And he was very good in soccer. And his coach said to me, "Mr. Leader, we need to have some additional practices on Sunday mornings because your son is talented and he can go far, but we just need the people who are showing some interest and some talent to be there on Sunday mornings." It was very tempting. And I'm not saying my son would have gone on and been any great soccer player, but Felicity and myself decided that Sunday morning for him in Sunday school was important. And I'm not saying that as any personal accolade, but I'm just suggesting that there are times when a decision which is very, very difficult must be made. But listen to this caution from Jesus. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Verse 26. But despite what appears to be forceful language, Jesus was not promoting malice or ill towards one's family, but suggested that devotion to Christ ought to take the highest priority. And we too are advised to have a delicate balance in our lives while we keep our priorities straight. Because genuine disciples are loyal, genuine disciples are committed and faithful. And you may recall that last week, Subdeacon Maggie Little reflected extensively on the Christian virtue of humility. So what has our faith cost us? What has our faith cost you and cost me? Well, for some Christians, it may be wealth, influence, a career, family life, or for others, it could be personal safety. I would speculate, however, that not too many of us sitting in this sanctuary have intentions of being martyrs for the sake of some cause. Think many of us are practical and figure out we can probably do more alive. But perhaps like you, I too have found myself asking, what difference does my Christian faith make in the lives of the people around me? What do my neighbors think about me when they see me dressed up on Sunday morning? And Mrs. Song, my neighbor, always says, "Pastor, you're going to church." And I said, "Yes, I am." But what difference does that really mean? That's nice banter and exchange, but what difference would our faith mean to people around us? For we are very much aware that people are abused and sometimes put to death for practicing their faith due to intolerance in various societies. But the intent is not for us to make comparisons with people living in environments which are hostile to Christians or people of other faiths, but rather to encourage us to think about what the cross really means in our own walk with Christ. And to test ourselves with the question, am I living for God or am I living for something or someone else? Jesus warned his listeners that when the builder doesn't accurately estimate the cost, he might be left with an unfinished building. Similarly, our Christian life could be incomplete If we are not fully committed to the disciplines of prayer, of Bible study, of worship, and Christian fellowship, which are generally considered to be the most important for the Christian life. So, my friends, our call to discipleship urges us to make a clear distinction between being a fan and a complete committed follower of Christ. Yes, we are not part of the Jesus fan club. We are not a group, part of a group. We are not a groupie. Because Jesus is not a celebrity whose fame is temporary. We are complete, committed followers of Christ. But this does not mean a trouble-free life, but rather a life in submission to the will of God. For when we follow Jesus, we walk in his footsteps, and he helps us to bear our burdens. So today, instead of thinking about what we give up, perhaps we could think about the improvements in our lives as we place God's priorities first. So the challenge for each and every one of us today, can we adopt an all or nothing approach for Christ and put God first in our lives? It's a challenge, isn't it? You see, Jesus knew that the way of the cross was God the Father's way to victory over sin and death. And Jesus was obedient. And we too must be willing to count the cost and be ready to follow Jesus if we really want to be his disciples. We must think about whether we place any relationship or possession above God and whether we place God's priorities first. I think that the gospel reading for today is challenging us to make a choice in this season of creation, in this season of regeneration, in this season when we have a fresh look at our priorities here at St. George and Young. And of course, we follow God's guidance, relying on his promise that despite what things appear to be, God will never leave us or forsake us if we are faithful. So I believe that what we're being asked today is to trust God so that we can live simply and freely, assured of God's protection and God's provision. Following Christ is an invitation to a Christian vocation. And we all have a Christian vocation reflected in the baptismal promises we made or were made on our behalf. Summarized something like this: to live a Christian lifestyle within the community. Yes, to show who we are. To continue in the apostles' teaching, to persevere in resisting evil, to proclaim the good news. And the best way of proclaiming the good news is not by words, but by our action. To seek and serve God in all persons. To seek and serve God in all persons, being non-judgmental, being non-judgmental. To strive for justice and peace, and to safeguard the integrity of God's creation. At our baptism, we receive the light of Christ to show that we have passed from darkness to light. So then let us ask God to show us the way and help us to be his light in the world, and to give us the courage to live our lives for others rather than for ourselves. In closing, we recall that discipleship is a response to God's grace, which has already been given. For when we serve God, we do not count the cost. Instead, we truly count our blessings as we experience joy and we experience meaning and we experience purpose for our lives. I would like to invite you to say with me a prayer attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I'll ask Doug to flip it on the screen. And I invite you to say that prayer with me, wherever you are, whether in the sanctuary or online. Let us pray together. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that you do your will. Amen. So my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, these thoughts we share today in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. Amen.